Your interest tonight as we come before you. Tonight I want to examine some of the terms that the scriptures use with reference to the work that God purposed for his son to accomplish. We speak of these terms often. Sometimes they seem like they're interchangeable, and I just pray that I would be blessed to make some distinction as we notice some of these terms tonight as we study these things. But before I get into some of that, I want to let's just begin reading 1 John 4:10. 1 John 4:10. Probably quote it, but I'm going to make sure I read it right. John tells us this by inspiration of the Spirit. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation. That's one of those words that we find in the Bible that I doubt seriously we would use in conversation. We might, but not very often. Herein is love. In other words, if you really want to know something about the love of God, it's in this. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. We sang several songs tonight. I noticed I had that, what a friend we have in Jesus. I had thought that we would use that for an opener, and then before we could get to that, we had several other songs that spoke of our friend. What a friend he is. There's no better. The best of all. There's lots of songs that no doubt we could sing that speaks about that. This week I happened to read, I read the history behind that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. If you haven't read it, I encourage you to do so. Just really touched me. This man that had such heartaches in his life and devoted his time and efforts and energy to going about helping those he couldn't help, you know, he would do a lot of things like cutting wood and things like that for people, but he wouldn't do it for the people that could pay him. He would do it for those that couldn't pay it. You got to appreciate somebody like that, that willing to spend and be spent in service to the Lord. What a blessing that song is whenever we sing it. But God, his love toward us in sending us his son. You know, quite often I think of the phrase that you find back in Genesis 22 when Isaac said, Father, here's the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for an offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself. God provided himself in the person of his son. So when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God sent himself. It was God's purpose to do this before the world was. So, as we look at this work that God purposed for his son to do. You know, even in the Garden of Eden, after man had sinned, after Adam and Eve had sinned, and God passed judgment upon them, then God made coats of skin to cover them. Here we get a glimpse of how that even though man had sinned, God was going to take care of him. Isn't that wonderful? right there in the very beginning of the Bible. And when man had fallen in sin, yet one of the first things God does is shows that he's going to care for them. We get a glimpse of reconciliation. We get a glimpse of that right there. Job would say in Job chapter 9, verse 2, I know it is so of a truth, but how shall man be just with God? We know it's beyond our ability to reconcile ourselves to God. There's no amount of good works that we could do. We don't even have the desire to do any good works in that regard. Until God reaches down to us, gives us his spirit. So Job would say, I know it is so of a truth. How could Job say that? Faith. That's faith speaking. I know it is so of a truth, but how? How? That's a good question. How shall man be just with God? And that's what the Bible's all about, isn't it? So, how shall man be just with God? You know, justification is a declaration that all our sins have been washed away. And this Jesus did by shedding his blood. Think about it. Job said, how? Well, that's how it was done. By God sending his son who shed his precious blood to redeem us from our sins. Romans 3 verse 24. This is a hard one to jump in the middle of, but Paul says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We're redeemed by his blood. So, being the recipient of that means that before the Father is just, it'll be, if you kind of say it this way, just if I'd, justified, just if I'd never sinned. That's how complete the work of Jesus is for those he came to save. All right? That condemnation that passed from Adam. Again, in Romans 3, verse 12, is when he's speaking about the guilt of mankind, he says, they're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And something that's interesting about when he says they are together become unprofitable, The meaning there is that it happened at the same time. When man sinned, all of us were plunged into sin. He being our federal head, our representative, when he sinned, you know, Romans 5:12 would tell us that wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Yes, the little babies in their mother's wombs are sinners. Not by practice, but by nature, because of what we inherited from Adam. And so that condemnation by the blood of Jesus is washed away. Not only all the sins I've committed, but all the sins I will ever commit are washed away. For the child of God, There is no sin that he can commit that's not forgiven by the blood of Jesus for the child of God. And I know from time to time I encounter someone where suicide's involved, and somebody will come along and say, that's the unpardonable sin. Well, if it's one of God's children, that sin's forgiven. Because he paid for all the sins of all the elect. And so as we think about this condemnation is removed forever. And so like we heard Sunday morning, Brother Kenneth took Romans, spoke from Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Okay? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. God that justifieth by sending his son to this world who suffered and died to redeem us from our sins. Because it's Christ that died. Oh, as we think about how shall a man be just with God? By what he purposed to do in sending his son into this world. And so we had absolutely nothing to do with our eternal salvation. God purposed it. Jesus accomplished it. And so we read in Hebrews 9:12 that by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, I've kind of laid a foundation. And in that foundation, there's several words that we used. And so I want to look more closely at some of these terms. We encounter the word save or saved. We encounter the word delivered. Okay? Matthew 1:21, when the angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save. Most of us primitive Baptists know that verse, don't we? For he shall save his people from their sins. Now the King James tells us he shall save his people. I understand, but mainly because of doing devotional services in nursing homes and quoting that, and some of the residents, bless their hearts, I know they love the Lord. I know they're wonderful folks, but when they were quoting along with me on that verse, they didn't say his people. They said, he shall save us from our sins. Well, that's a little ambiguous to me. I prefer what the King James says. He shall save his people. And so if we find out who his people are, then we know exactly who are saved. It wasn't left up to us. It's what God sent his son to accomplish. All right? So that save, when it says he shall save his people from their sins, you can rest assured that's eternal salvation. Because it rested in the hands of Jesus. Also, we find the word deliver, or delivered. Let's see, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul is speaking about... Actually, it's the witness of these brethren when he says in verse 9, their testimony sounded, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Delivered us. All right? So whenever we encounter those kinds of words, saved and delivered and saved, then we need to ask ourselves, saved from what? Because that helps us to understand what type of salvation we're talking about. Was it what Jesus accomplished for us that he is secured forever? Or is it is it like when we need to save ourselves from this untoward generation? And we have to do that every day, don't we? Okay. So, those words. So he saved us from our lost and ruined condition to glory. That's salvation right there. Saved us to glory. So when you go back to Isaiah 40, when he says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem, cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, and she hath received double for all her sins. He's put away our sins. You know, when you think about receiving double for all our sins, not only do we have forgiveness, and not only do we have that which has taken away our sins, but he's also given us an inheritance. So the forgiveness of sins is glorious, but he's also given us a glorious inheritance. So that being forgiven of our sins, being just if I'd never sinned, then we can enjoy the blessings of what God has for us. Not only after this life is over, but we can begin to enjoy it right now. The blessings that we have. Another word I want to notice is propitiation. I read that particular word in the first verse that we noticed tonight in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. He's a propitiation for our sins. My simple way of looking at that is Jesus gave himself for our sins. In other words, he was a substitute for us. Now, you dig a little bit deeper in that word, and it not only speaks of the benefits that we receive from his propitiation, but it also speaks about the manner in which we've received it. In other words, not only was Jesus the sacrifice for our sins, he was the high priest that offered it. I tell you, he is all to us, isn't he? As he came into this world, he said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And he goes on, this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that thou hast given me, I should lose nothing but raise it up again at the last day. How can that be? How can man be just with God? Because Jesus shed his precious blood to redeem us from our sin. He is our propitiation. He is the propitiation for our sins. Not only is he the sacrifice, but he's also the high priest that offered it. Oh, as we think about all the blessings that we have in this propitiation for our sins. How about being redeemed or redemption? I've already mentioned that word tonight. What does that refer to? You know, that deals with the penalty, the penal price. You know, a penalty, okay, the word penal for penal price means that something is prescribed by law. A penalty prescribed by law. All right? Well, God's law said the soul that sinneth shall do what? Shall die. Death was the penalty for sin. Bless your hearts, this redemption that we have through our Lord's blood, it paid the price. God was satisfied. He was paid in full. Isaiah 53, verse 10 or 11, where he says, speaking of God the Father looking down upon his Son as he was shedding his blood, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. When Jesus was suffering upon the cross to pay for our redemption, bless your hearts, God the Father saw it and was satisfied. That price was paid. He redeemed us. He bought us back. He paid the price that was necessary. That's a price we couldn't pay. Our blood was tainted with sin. Our blood is polluted with sin. I'll put it that way. But bless your hearts, he was free from sin. He's holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. How about reconciliation? Being reconciled. You know, he was our propitiation, both the offering and the high priest. He was our redemption. He paid the price for us. What's reconciled? Reconciliation. What's that deal with? He brought us from that state of enmity to God's friend. Enmity to peace. Enmity. Have you ever thought much about that word enmity? It's the feeling among enemies. It's what man by nature feels toward God. Hatred. You know, have you ever heard, maybe you've had a situation where you were having a conversation and you begin to mention God's view of things, what God says about it in his word, quoting the Bible. Have you ever had somebody to get upset with you? There's enmity. There's hatred. There's feelings that exist between enemies in the natural man. But what Jesus has done has reconciled us unto God. And so what we find is he's removed our sin. He's paid for it. Put it away. Redeeming us. Paying the redemption price. And we're reconciled now unto God. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 5. I know each one of these terms, you could just take it by itself and speak for a long time. But 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, he says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." So the message of the good news of the gospel, that Jesus died for the sins of all of God's people, those sins are put away. Isn't that good news? He hath reconciled us to himself. We didn't do it. We didn't have the desire to do it. We didn't have the ability to do it. But bless your hearts, Jesus accomplished that for us. Verse 19 says, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself." Now, obviously, you know, we know that that word world, you have to consider who's under consideration here. Because a world is just some orderly arrangement. You know, you go through the scripture and you find different ways the word world is used. Yes, John 3:16 says God so loved the world. But then you find in John 17, Jesus said, "I pray not for the world." Well, there's no way you can make the world be the same people. And then John, later in 1 John chapter 2, he says, "Love not the world." So we have to consider the context. And what he's talking about here are those for whom Jesus died. That world, to wit, that God was in Christ, those that are in Christ, by the way, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. To preach the good news that Jesus, you know, 1 Timothy 1:15, I believe it is, where it says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Bless your hearts. To the sinner, that's good news. All right? So that's the word of reconciliation, not the word of regeneration. You know, there are those that think that by hearing the gospel and obeying the gospel and being baptized or whatever, you can be born again. Well, it's not the word of regeneration. It's the word of reconciliation. It's the good news of what Jesus has done for us, that his son was sent to do, or that Jesus was sent to do. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now here's something of a practical nature. If we're blessed to believe the gospel, hear the gospel, and believe the gospel, and rejoice in it, then bless your hearts, this is something for us to do, to be reconciled to God. For the truth is, verse 21, for he hath made him, God hath made his son, Christ, for he hath made him to be sin for us. All these terms that we've been talking about over and over speak of the benefits of what we've received by what Christ did. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. That's why he was a fit sacrifice, right? Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And there's another term, righteous. By him paying our sin debt, being reconciled to him, he's made us righteous. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made. This is something he did for us. Made the righteousness of God in him. Righteous, the resulting state of being redeemed. I just quoted to you from 2 Corinthians 5:21. By what he has done for us, redeeming us from our sins, we're made righteous. So, justified, justification, those terms. Sometimes when you're reading in Scripture, it speaks about justification by blood. Then elsewhere we read that justification by faith. Then justification by works. And it's not that Paul couldn't make up his mind. Bear with me, my folly. We have to understand what the Scriptures are teaching us. God sent his son to save us by shedding his precious blood, to redeem us, to reconcile us, justify us, to make us righteous. Bless your heart. That justification came by his blood. And all that Jesus died for, whether they were babies aborted in the womb, whether they never heard the gospel, whether they never heard Jesus' name, whether they didn't have mental capacity to understand, no matter what, all the elect family of God are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. But you know, when we're born of the Spirit and we're blessed to hear the gospel and that message resonates in here. Not just, we're not giving just mental assent, but it's something that we're able to embrace in our hearts. That we can, the Spirit within us rejoices, and we rejoice with that. Bless your hearts. When we can embrace that wonderful truth and believe it, then we're talking about justification by faith. So the first, justification by blood, is how God sees it, how God sees us through the blood of Jesus. Bless your hearts, how we are blessed to understand and receive and believe and rejoice in it. That involves justification by faith. And so that's how we see it. But when we're able then to take this precious truth and trust it and lean upon it and make our decisions for life and have a desire to please God as we walk through this life, then others can see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And now we're talking about justification by works. It speaks of what Abraham did by faith. And what he did was spoken of as being justified by his works. And others who have eyes to see can see that. So there's a lot of terms. And I'm sure this is a short list. There's other terms that we could have talked about. But there's other things that are spoken of. But as we notice these terms, as our propitiation, when Jesus became our substitute, he redeemed us, shedding his precious blood, paying the ransom price. He reconciled us to God. We couldn't do that ourselves, but he made peace through the blood of his cross. And he made us righteous, and we're declared just before God because of what Jesus has done for us. So we think about what God purposed. So we rejoice that we're blessed to know what Jesus accomplished. Then we can read those words like when Moses and Elijah was speaking with Jesus during the Mount of Transfiguration. And Luke tells us what they were talking about. They spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. I love how positive that is. He accomplished it. God didn't try. You know, Isaiah said, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. That's my Jesus. He's not wringing in his hands. He's not sitting in heaven wringing his hands, wondering how all this is going to turn out. The Father sent him to do a work. He did that work. His meat was to do the will of him that sent him and finish his work. And on the cross he said, it's finished. And bless your hearts, we rejoice that we're blessed to know that we've heard the gospel of our salvation, that we're blessed to know and can embrace and understand and rejoice in the finished work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May God help us to walk in that faith. May God help us to trust in his word and apply it to our lives so that others can see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. He is the propitiation for our sins. May God bless you, is our prayer.